come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with Brooke's pick of February. And you chose Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon from 2000.
I sure did.
What of all the action movies you could have chosen, what made you pick this one?
Honestly, it's one I've been wanting to do for a while. I haven't seen it, honestly, probably since it came out. Like, maybe I was 12, 13, maybe. I don't know. Don't really remember much from it. But I just remember, like, I don't know, everyone kind of talked about it. And, like, I don't know if it's considered one of those action movies that kind of, like, changed things. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say it did.
Yeah. Kind of ahead of his time, maybe, you know, one of a kind. Yeah. So.
All right. I didn't see your score. I tried to avoid it.
I haven't seen yours. No, I didn't see yours. So.
Perfect. All right. I don't want to give my thoughts away on it too early.
Okay.
But before we start talking about this, we'll kick off our box office news and boo. And what are you drinking tonight, sir?
I'm drinking a very tall beer tonight. It is a Bone Shaker Unfiltered India Pale Ale.
I have had Bone Shaker.
Yes.
Personally, not a fan, but I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure I've had this before. But,
yeah.
Well, I know what you're drinking, so.
I spiced it up tonight.
Oh.
I got some lemon juice in it.
Nice.
Getting fucking wild tonight.
There you go.
I've never seen that in a glass. Is it dark as shit?
No, not too bad.
No? Okay. It tastes like it would be really dark. All right. Yeah, lemon water for me tonight. Got 2 weeks left and I'll start having some beers.
Okay.
But yeah, what have you been watching since we last spoke?
Things. So finally watched my first real 2025 movie of the year.
Nice.
Watched The Gorge on Apple TV. Really had no idea what it was going into it. I didn't even know who directed it, but our boy did. Scott Derrickson, I
think. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He did.
But it has Anya Taylor-Joy and Miles Teller. Yeah, I would suggest not really going, like, kind of watching this kind of blind, because, like, I don't know, the basic premise is that these two people go to these kind of towers across each other in a gorge, and they just have to sit there and guard it, I guess, kind of. But, yeah, I wasn't really feeling the first act, and then it kind of turned itself on its head, and I was like, okay, I'm all for this. So, I don't really know what to call it. Like, I called it a horror movie, but it's kind of more action horror. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Then I watched probably going to be the movie of the year, Best Picture of the Oscars, Emilia Perez. Yeah, I don't recommend watching it. It's not good. It is a musical, and, you know, I'm not the biggest musical guy, but I feel like it's very hard for you to make all of the songs in the movie very bad.
Oh, and they managed to do that?
Yes. Some are just, like, laughable, and I don't know. Yeah. Then I threw on Gifted from 2017.
What is that?
Chris Evans and the girl who plays young Theo in Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
Kind of Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's on Netflix. It's leaving Netflix, I think, in March sometime. But basically, McKenna Grace plays, like, this genius. She's, like, 8 years old. And, like, Chris Evans just is her uncle and just wants her to have a normal life. And it's a good movie. Pretty sad, but it's good.
Okay.
Then throw on Daddy's Home. I don't know.
So random.
I haven't seen this movie all the way through, and now I know why this movie is so fucking bad. Oh man, yeah. Then I threw on the Jungle Book randomly yesterday and finished today. You know, I feel like kind of singing in music shows and movies, so I thought, eh, this has some songs, but wasn't really paying attention. So you know, I kind of watched it. I haven't seen it in a long time. It's really good.
I find kids these days, like, if it's not super bright colors and shit, it just doesn't grab their attention, which sucks because there's so much I want my kids to watch.
And then White Lotus season 3 premiered on Sunday, so we watched that. Very excited for that season. Then we started watching American Murderer Gabby Petito.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So there's 3 episodes, we watched 2 of them. So
Nice.
yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch that too.
What would you?
Oh, man. I watched so many fucking movies. We had a wild ass snowstorm, as you know. Plus, I was sick
Yes.
this weekend. So, I was just like vegging. Yeah, there's Boar. So, I was browsing Tubi and I found this one called Hilarious. And it's an anthology movie. And it's worth a watch for like super cheesy horror. I mean, they're not great, but like the first short film within the anthology was unbelievably funny. So yeah, check it out if you're bored one night.
Nice.
Then this is by complete accident that I watched Friday on Friday.
Funny.
I saw it on Crave and I hadn't watched, I think it was on Crave, and I hadn't watched it in fucking forever. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna throw this on.
Nice.
Then I wanted to watch Gladiator 2, so of course I watched Gladiator first just to get a little refresher on it.
You know what? Letterboxd just posted on the weekend that Gladiator joined the 2 million watch club.
Oh, really?
I wonder if you were that 2 millionth person that watched it.
Dude, that'd be so fucking cool. That's awesome.
When's the last time you watched Gladiator?
I think I had it logged on here previously. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
2023.
Okay.
So
Nice.
not too long ago.
Yeah.
What else? Watch Peter Pan. Going
Nice.
on my Disney watch. Sarah and I watched You're Cordially Invited, which is Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon's new movie.
How was it?
It was funny. Like it definitely had its moments. It wasn't a great movie, but it was good. It's definitely worth a watch.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I was sick as fuck, so I went to bed pretty early on whatever night the 16th was, Saturday, Sunday. But I was laying in bed and I was just browsing through Prime and I found the Snack Shack movie. And
Yeah, I just added to my watch list because I've heard so much stuff about this movie. So,
yeah, it's a fucking wicked movie, man. Like, I was shocked.
yeah, I heard it's a pretty good coming of age
Yeah.
movie.
Yeah, really good. And it has the guy who played Lorne Michaels in Saturday Night. He's one of the
Oh yeah,
kids that's in it. Watch Carry On, which was
nice.
a recommended movie by you. Really liked it.
Yeah.
That was really good. Finally finished Bike Riders.
Nice.
It was good, not great.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Gladiator 2, which again, good, not great.
Yeah.
But obviously worth a watch. There's some scenes in that movie where I was just like, whoa, that is fucking
Yeah.
cool. Yeah, and then Sarah, it's like the typical thing that you see on TikTok, like, oh, I don't watch my wife's shows, blah, blah, blah. And then you see the guy like creeping around the corner and he's like standing behind the couch and he's watching the show. She put on Love is Blind and I ended up binging all 6 episodes with her.
Nice.
So that was fun. But yeah. All right. Move on to our box office.
It.
In 5th place, we have Ninja 2, which I don't know what the fuck it is. It looked like it was an animated movie, but it was its opening weekend and it made 7.3 mil.
Interesting.
In 4th place, we have Dog Man,
Okay,
which made 9.7. Hard Eyes, which is pretty cool, was in third place
Nice.
with 9.8. I really want to see it. People are saying it's actually really good. In second
Siri here.
place.
Let me know if I can help. Sorry, Siri was listening to our conversation.
Get out of here, Siri.
Oh,
In second place, also in its opening weekend, we had Paddington in Peru
okay, yeah.
making 12.7 mil. And in first place, no surprise to anyone, in its opening weekend, we have Captain America Brave New World
Yes.
making 89.8 mil.
Damn.
So, first place, 89.8. Second place, 12.7.
Yeah, it's quite the jump.
Yeah. And both opening weekend movies. So sorry, Paddington, but Sony did you dirty and released you on the wrong fucking weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah. Much else it's worth mentioning. Mufasa is still raking in the money. At 240 mil total now. So yeah, not a bad list.
Yeah.
Happy to see a horror movie on there.
Yep.
Are you planning on watching Captain America?
No.
No, like not in
No.
theaters. Obviously, you'll
No.
watch it when it comes out.
Yeah, no. Haven't heard good things about it, honestly.
I think people are just over it, man.
Yeah.
I
Like some
really do.
people have said, like, really doesn't really do anything. Or it just kind of like an interlude, I guess, between, you know, and like Fantastic Four, I'm like not excited for it, but like kind of intrigued by it, you know?
The thing with Fantastic Four, and like, I think this one will be the best one that they've released.
A long time.
Like, I mean, like, best Fantastic Four.
Oh, okay.
Like, cast wise, it's already blowing the other ones out of the water. Well, actually, the first one had a fucking really good cast for that time period.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, if this one flops, I think they need to just stop with Fantastic Four.
I think just stop MCU, honestly.
They'll never do that,
I know, they're making too much money.
though. They will never stop. But yeah, I mean, like, this is going to be your third time trying a new Fantastic Four, and if you fail on this one, just give it up. But I'm kind of intrigued to see Red Hulk in Brave New World, but that's about
Yeah,
it.
me too, but from what I've heard, he's not in it that long.
Wow, that's annoying then. Fuck. Scratch that. All right, do we have any 4Ks worth mentioning?
We sure do, because we got one of them pre-ordered.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So yeah, Paddington 2, we got that pre-ordered. No,
I
I'm
was like,
kidding.
what the fuck?
Nosferatu. Mark will watch it in 6 months when he finally watches Terrifier 3.
Ah, dude, I got halfway through it and then I just never went back to it.
The Lord of the Rings, the War, the Rohirrim, Rohirrim. I don't know how you say that.
I almost pre-ordered that too the other night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look. Judas and the Black Messiah, very good movie. The Nice Guys.
Nice.
Constantine, Steelbook.
A cool steel book.
But to say punk prophet genius, but it's The Social Network. I hate fucking covers like that, man.
Yeah.
So dumb. Uncle Buck, Panic Room, which I haven't seen
Okay.
in a very long time.
Yeah, me either.
The First Slam Dunk, I believe that's an anime. Humanoids from the Deep.
I watched that. That's a
Yeah.
quite the movie.
I'm sure it is. Crossing Delancey on a Criterion Collection. Drugstore Cowboy on
Want to watch
Criterion.
that.
Is that that's not
Ben Dillon.
Pattinson. Oh, it is. It looks young.
He is.
And Punch Drunk Love on
Okay.
Criterion as well.
I've never seen that movie.
You know, me either.
I've heard it's not great.
I've heard it's amazing.
What am I thinking of then?
I
I don't
don't
remember.
know.
Something else, obviously. All right,
Unless
cool.
I'm wrong, I don't know. I just know that Sandler is amazing in it. That's all I know.
Which fucking, I think I'm thinking of oh fuck, it's got 7.3 on IMDb, so it's got to be good. I must be thinking of, I don't know, obviously something else.
Yeah, I don't know what you're thinking of.
Right. Eat my words. All right, cool. Kick off this movie discussion.
New Ritz.
All right, like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon from the year 2000. Starting off the synopsis, a young Chinese warrior steals a sword from a famed swordsman and then escapes into a world of romantic adventure with a mysterious man in the frontier of a nation. Of the nation, sorry. Kind of a false synopsis.
You know,
Somewhat.
after you read that synopsis, it really made me think. This movie is very makes me sorry, reminds me of like The Princess Bride, kind of.
In a way, yeah, I can see that.
Little bit, you know.
Yeah, actually, when you think about it, a girl comes from royalty. She's supposed to marry someone. She ends up marrying, or she ends up falling for the
Yeah.
lowly stable boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it. This was directed by Ang Lee. He's got such a fucking weird resume, man.
He does. He really does.
He did Gemini Man, Life of Pi, Brokeback Mountain. He did the shitty Eric Bana Hulk, which, like, fuck me, man. Like, I don't know how you go from this movie to that. And he did Sense and Sensibility, which he has described Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon as Sense and Sensibility with martial arts.
Okay.
I've never seen that movie, but take his word
Neither.
for it. We have a pretty fucking awesome cast. We have Chow Yun-fat, who plays Li Mubai. We have Michelle Yeoh, who plays Xu Lin. Ji Zhang, who plays Jen. I have a funny story about that casting call as well.
Okay.
And Chang Chen plays Lo. Do you have any honorable mentions? I do not.
Not really, no.
All right. My funny story. Well, it's not my story, but I saw it in the trivia. There was an other actress who was originally cast for the role of Jen. They had filmed for a couple weeks with her. She had a bunch of scenes already filmed and whatnot. Then her agent pulled her out of this production in order to be able to film a Pepsi commercial.
Pepsi commercial.
Pepsi commercial. It says
Wow.
she has since fired this agent.
Yeah,
I would fucking hope
that
so. Because this movie at the time was the biggest foreign movie. It was the biggest martial arts movie. It was the first ever, I think, first ever foreign movie to get $1 million in the American box office. Like, this movie fucking
Yeah.
skyrocketed. And she got pulled to do a goddamn Pepsi commercial.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, really good cast. Enjoyed it. All right. Let's talk about this movie.
Let's talk about it, man. Yeah, so pretty much opens up. We're in Shun Li's village. Master Li has come back. He lives in the mountain. He was a Wudang fighter. Very respected and well-known warrior who owns this sword. I forget what the sword is called, but
Green Destiny.
Green Destiny. I loved all the names in this movie,
Yeah.
especially the guys like near the
I'm Steel Arm Poe
Yeah,
or shit
yeah.
like that.
Anyway, he's bringing the sword to Sir Tay, who was kind of, I don't know, the governor, or not king, but he kind of rules this village or town or whatever. I think it's Beijing, actually.
Yeah, it's Beijing.
This is set, I think, like way, 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 way back in the day.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere People had done research and like different stories and whatnot, and it took place like roughly around 1776. You gotta There you go. You got it. You got it.
I could feel it. Yeah, so he is pretty much retiring as a warrior. He is bringing the sword to be held in Beijing because it's a very powerful sword. Almost reminds me of like what's the sword in the stone called? What's that sword called?
Bach. I keep wanting to see Equilibrium. That's not it. Excalibur. Excalibur.
Excalibur, that's it. Very powerful and high regarded sword. He brought the sword here. Shun Ling has a very weird relationship with Li. I believe that Shun Ling was married or forced to marry to another warrior, I think, that was friends with Li, but he ended up dying. And Li and Shun Li really, I think they like each other. Like they kind of have a bond, but she wants to honor her would-be husband and just basically not marry anyone else.
Especially not one of his best friends.
I love the scene. I think it's Master Li. He's talking to, it's like one of the guards or something like that, and he's like talking about the sword, and he's like spouting off like 5 minutes of knowledge of this sword. And the guy is like, "You know a lot about this sword." And like the guard of one of the Sirte asks Shun Li, "Well, why don't you take the sword?" And she's like, "Oh, I prefer machetes." But then later that night, there was is someone stealing the sword, and I didn't like how they had the thief dressed.
Like a ninja?
Like, because you could tell just by the eyes who it was,
Yeah, that's a fair
at least
point.
for me, right? Like I found like the actress that played Jen, I thought she had a very distinct like eyes.
She's fucking beautiful, man.
She is, yeah, she's gorgeous, yeah.
Gorgeous, like fuck. But yeah, I agree. She did. Like she had very soft eyes, but like also very like piercing.
Exactly. So I haven't seen this movie since it came out, like I was saying. And all I remember is people flying through trees. Well, that's like literally the very end of the movie. And this movie is like beautiful.
It is.
Especially like the ending, like you're just sitting there watching, and like you would think watching this it'd be like hilarious, like oh, it's fucking people flying looking stupid, but like the way that An Li directs and does a choreography for this, like obviously there's like a lot of like probably hidden like ropes and stuff like that, but it feels so smooth and it feels like the actors actually give a shit and care about, you know, the product.
After I finished this last night, I went to YouTube and I was watching some behind the scenes videos and shit. And yeah, like it's all like a rope and pulley system. And the only visual effects that they used in this movie really was to remove those from production. But yeah, touching on what you said about how like all the actors just like seem to give a shit, it's fucking wild, man. Like all four actors had to learn Mandarin. They didn't know Mandarin, and it's like one of the hardest, if not the hardest language to learn. And all four of the main actors had different accents, it said, with them, like because like one of them had like a Vietnamese accent with the Mandarin, and then there was some other ones too. But it's just the shit that they went through to train for this movie and to ensure that, because like they all have so much respect for Ang Lee as a director and a person. They like busted their asses to make sure he got this dream movie that he really wanted. It was really cool to watch the document. Like, well, it's like a 15-minute documentary type style, and it was really cool to see.
But what do you think of like the actual like them like fucking running up walls and like they're like jumping like just like gliding for like I don't know, like 15, 20 meters. Like, what do you think of all that?
It's, I don't want to say like, I don't want to say I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's a slight gripe for me in a sense until I watched that behind the scenes and until I saw why Ang Lee went that direction, because he wanted this to be like a basically like a fantasy type movie. Like I can't remember how he described it, but it was like martial arts in a dream kind of thing. And the way I looked at it too, it was almost like he made a live action anime movie. You know what I mean? Because like how they always fly through the air and shit. So I kind of attribute it to that. But I mean, the stuff that they were doing was super cool. But I mean, we're not, I'm not used to seeing stuff like that. So it took me a little bit out of it, especially the scene where you're talking about with the trees. It was just a little too much with the trees. Like on the buildings and stuff, I was cool with that, but some of it was just a little too over the top.
What'd you think of this first fight between Xu Li and the thief?
Another small gripe I have with the movie. The fight was amazing, don't get me wrong, but the first few fights that we see in this movie, it's very dark. They happen at night, it's very dark. And I was thinking to myself while I was watching it, I was like, fuck, I hope not all the fights are like this. And like, I know why they probably did it. Like, it's easier to hide the ropes and shit like that. But I was really hoping that not every fight would be this dark. But fucking Michelle Yeoh, dude, like her martial arts knowledge is so insane, man. She's so good. And Ziyi Zhang, who played Jen, she has zero martial arts background whatsoever. She's a trained dancer and she used dance moves to do the martial arts.
I can see that.
Yeah, so it's just, it's so cool.
So they're having their fight, and it's pretty even match, and then all of a sudden someone throws like a dart like out of nowhere at Xu Li, and you don't really see who it is, and then thief ends up getting away with the sword. So the next day, you find out that Jen is being forced to marry someone else. I think it's the prince or someone high up in Beijing is being forced to marry, and she is Xun Li is going to visit her, and she sees that Jen is like learning calligraphy, and Jen says like, "Oh, let me write out your name for fun." As she's writing it, like Xun Li, like the camera looks at the writing and then looks at Xun Li, and she makes like a kind of face. So I think at this point, I think she knew by the way that she wrote, she could like, she knew that translated to the person she fought last night, I think. I don't
Or
know.
she had like suspicions for sure.
Yeah,
And I
yeah.
think she does mention it later on in the movie too about the calligraphy and like the way that her brush strokes were going and
Yeah.
like the way her hand movements were.
Yeah.
Everything's just so fluid.
Yeah. So the police are looking for this person called the Jade Fox. No one knows if it's a girl or a guy, but they end up finding out that it's a girl, and this person has killed multiple people across the country. You find out that the fox killed Master Li's wife, I believe.
No, his trainer,
Oh,
like
his
his
trainer.
master, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then one of the guards ends up following this girl to this kind of like abandoned house, and he finds her with this police inspector that is here from the city. This is his wife that's with him, and they're trying to find the Jade Fox. They're very close to finding this person. And then they get a note from the Jade Fox saying, "Okay, meet me at midnight at this place." So all three of them go, and like the bodyguard, like he's not a good bodyguard at all.
No, he's not.
He's not good. But they go to this kind of like, I don't know, meeting place, and to find out that the Jade Fox, I believe, is the governess, I think.
She is so Jen is the daughter of the governor, and this Jade Fox woman is like her housemaid kind of thing,
Oh, okay.
like a nanny, like
Yeah.
how we would have here.
Right.
Like she kind of took care of her from a small child up until now because her dad's rich and powerful. He has to go to all these like meetings and shit like that.
Yeah. And I think we get a really awesome fight here. And this lady is like, well, she's, I say old, but like, she's easily like in her 40s to like 50s maybe, and like he's keeping up with like all three of these people. Like it's a really good fight.
It is good.
And this scene made me laugh so hard because like in the middle of it, she does this like crazy like acupuncture thing. And I was like, is that where Hot Rod got that from? Really fucking cool because she does it to the bodyguard. She like does like hits him like 5 times and then he like just freezes. And he can't move at all. I'm like, that's so fucking cool. And the police inspector has like these, I don't know what they're called, but like they're like blades with like handles on them, I guess.
Yeah, and they're almost like circular, but then they have like these spike parts that come out of them.
Yeah. But Master Lee ends up showing up, and he's fighting the Jade Fox because he wants to kill the Jade Fox, obviously. And the Jade Fox gets away for a little bit, and then she grabs one of these things and chucks it at the police inspector's head. And that caught me off guard.
Me too.
I was like, oh fuck, I hope Brady wasn't watching it. Like,
Yeah. While that scene was happening, I was like, oh, that's kind of ironic because we were talking about how it's like how funny it would be if it ended up being like super bloody and gory. And then this guy gets a fucking circular knife stuck in his forehead.
but I think at this point the thief shows up as well with the sword, right? And so the thief is fighting Master Lee. The Jade Fox, I don't know how what Jade Fox used here to get away, but like has like the gymnast in Olympics have like that like I don't know fabric thing. Well, she like grabs the thief and like grabs the thing, just like jumps over the thing, like the thing's spinning and like pulls him. I was like, that's fucking cool.
It was cool. We get a scene with Jen and Jade Fox as well right after this fight because Jade Fox sees Jen fighting Li Mu Bai and sees how she's fighting and like how she's keeping up with him, and she's a much better fighter than she should be because the Jade Fox is the one who's trained her, and she's just like, I didn't train you this on this shit. But I guess there's a Wudong manual, and the Jade Fox, she only knew like certain parts of it. She didn't understand the entirety of it.
Oh yeah, 'cause Jade Fox can't read, I think.
Yeah, or she can't read certain languages or something like that. But Jen has studied the entire manual, so she knows all these extra moves and stuff like that. So this is where we start to get a little bit of the tension between those two.
And I think during this fight too, I think Master Lee tries to invite the thief, hey, let me take you to Wudang to train. And I think at one point, Shun Li says like, well, no, like they don't allow women, like they don't train women up there. But he's like, oh no, they'll make an exception or something like that, You find out that so Jen is sleeping in her house, and then all of a sudden this guy comes in and it's Lo, who is like kind of like I won't say Genghis Khan, but he's like this kind of there's like different like guest tribes maybe I guess through like the country. And I forget what his tribe is called, but basically they live in that dark cloud, I think maybe. But anyway, they live in the desert. And I wasn't expecting this. I really did like the backstory we got with Jen and Lo, which did remind me of kind of like the reverse kind of Princess Bride, right? Because we see him has his comb with her, and then it has like kind of a flashback to Jen and her family. They're riding through the desert, and then she has this like white comb. And I don't understand what the significance of it was.
I'm assuming it was a gift because it looks like an ivory comb or like a jade comb.
Yeah.
Probably worth some money, has some sentimental value to it,
Yeah.
because she's with the Jade Fox. I can't remember what her actual name was, but she's with her in this like caravan kind of thing, and she tells her not to break it because she's sitting there and she's playing around with it.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, yeah, Lowe's gang or tribe, they come and they are ransacking the family. And Lowe says, leave the women and children alive. And he ends up stealing her comb. And she goes through a hell of a lot just to get this comb
It's
back.
fucking wild, man. She is persistent.
He takes the comb and she's like, give it back. And he like ends up killing someone and then runs off the horse, and she jumps out the window on a horse, grabs a spear, is chasing him, and just chasing him for like days and days, and it keeps cutting back. And he's like, you should really stop and get your horse some water, and you should really get some rest. And so like they stop to like a river to get water, and then he's like, oh, I guess it's dried up. And then like they end up fighting for a bit, and just so much happens in this. And like she hates him at first, and like he takes her back to his like kind of cave thing, and she wakes up, and he get brought her like a pheasant or something like that, and she's like going crazy eating it. And he's like, eat so you can get your strength up. And then she ends up, punching him or whatever, and then trying to get away, and she doesn't know where she is in the middle of the desert, right? So she's like walking and walking, and then passes out. And then she wakes up and he has her tied, and he's like, you really need to, eat, or and they kind of fall in love, right?
Nothing like falling in love with your captor.
Yeah. I love the scene too, whenever she's like, they're like talking, and she's like, okay, give me my comb. And he's like, I don't take orders from anyone. And she grabs like this, like, I don't know, like not a knife, but it's like an arrow, I guess. And she's like, give it back or I'll kill you. And then he just like just doesn't say anything. And then she just fucking stabs him in the heart. And I was like, what the fuck? And then he takes it, and they make sweet love.
They do. They sure
Yeah.
do.
But yeah, like this movie's 2 hours long. I didn't really feel like it was 2 hours, but
No.
I did kind of like this kind of backstory thing we got between Lo and her. Now we'll get to the ending. I didn't get the ending, whole thing played out. And then it cuts back to present day, and she tells him to leave and not to come back. But what did you have any more to talk about with kind of the backstory scene with her and him?
Yeah, so like with the backstory, he eventually convinces her to return to her family because he said, like, you're not gonna like this life, like you're gonna get bored of this life. We literally live in a fucking desert. All we do is
Yeah.
ride around, like, and you're used to like palaces and like parades and parties and stuff like that. So he finally convinces her, but then he tells her a story about a man who climbed to the top of the Wudong Mountain and was able to jump off after he made a wish. And he didn't die. Nobody could find his body.
Okay.
They couldn't understand what happened to him.
Okay. So see that. But I just totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're going to talk about with the ending?
Yeah.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the story that he told her. And because his heart was pure, his wish was granted and he was unharmed, but he was able to fly away, basically. So
Okay.
we'll circle back around to that at the end of the
Yeah.
movie.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
But yeah, I also really enjoyed this backstory because it adds a whole other element, not only to the movie, but to this character. Right? Like we don't know why Jen is being like this, and this kind of sheds some light onto that, why she has turned into this thief and why she's kind of learned the martial arts and all that stuff. So
Yeah, it's
I don't
kind of
know.
like kind of reminds me of, like Aladdin, right?
I was gonna say that too, yeah.
So she so the next day she sends him away, tells him to come back. And then the next day, she is getting carried, I don't know, by all this fucking army, basically. But all of a sudden, this dart comes flying through and hits like the side of her thing. And she like opens it up and she looks so gorgeous, man. And she looks over and sees the dart and it's low, and he came back for her. He wants her back. But he doesn't get killed. Master Li ends up confronting him, well, him and Shun Li, and he says, "I'm sending you to Wudang Mountain, to wait for Jen and to, train and, get away from all of this."
Yeah, basically, because like if he stays there, he's gonna end up getting himself killed. Like if he pulls too many more stunts like that, I don't think they're gonna let him survive.
So now the sword is gone and Jen has ran away. And Surte is like, "I get the sword, it gets stolen, comes back, and now it's gone again. Like, what the hell?" So what is Jen's mission? Like, she steals the sword again. Like, what? This is where I kind of get lost with the movie. Like, what is her goal?
Yeah, I don't really know. I feel like on future watches we could maybe learn
Unpack that a
that,
bit.
understand it a bit more. But
So
yeah,
she's
'cause
basically on the run right now.
yeah.
And she has the sword and she's not hiding herself. Like, she's, not masked up. She's just this warrior who ends up, I don't know how far away she is, but
She does disguise herself in men's clothing, which I think is absolutely ridiculous because she's clearly not a man. I don't know, like maybe because like this sword, it like this is the Green Destiny, man. Like this is like you mentioned, this is their Excalibur. So if she has that, she is all powerful. So maybe that's just her goal. Is she just wants to be that one? Because I think she wants to break away from the norms of a rich and powerful family. She doesn't want to be married off. She wants to choose her own path. She wants to choose her own life. She wants to choose who she gets married to. And at one point, like her and Xu Lin are talking. And she's like, oh, it must be so nice to be able to be free and just like ride a horse and have the wind fly through your hair. And like, you don't have to answer to anybody. Like, you're your own person. And I feel like that's kind of the life that she's chasing and that's what she wants. I feel like that's her end goal. It should just be like this warrior.
So she ends up at, I don't know, this is the kind of like picnic area, and she's eating, and these two guys come up to her and they're, asking about her, and she ends up like cutting their swords in half, and then she ends up at this kind of restaurant bar place. And then all of a sudden she's upstairs, and all of a sudden like all these gang members start coming up and all these like huge ass fucking weapons. One guy's like this giant ball thing, and they all have like these ridiculous names, and she is sitting there drinking her tea, and the one guy comes up and he's like, you say, like, "I'm one armed, strong arm something like that." He goes up to her, tries to punch her. She is like one hand with her cup, and she's just like boop 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 doo doo, just beating him up. And then she like makes a joke. She's like, "Aren't you called like strong arm something? Like, what's going on here?" What do you think of this whole fight scene here?
Dude, it's what's so incredible.
Yeah,
This is
it
like
was
a
good.
two-story restaurant type deal. She's up on the top floor with all these guys. And she, How many, like at least 25 of them. And she beats the living fuck out of every single one of them. She's fucking hopping over the banister and like kicking off the walls and like glides down to the main floor and kicks the shit out of some more guys, glides back up the stairs, kicks the fuck out of the rest of them up there. It's just, it's so chaotic and so badass. And then I was laughing so hard. Like after the fight, she's just standing there and the camera's behind her, like looking past her. And there's like this almost like a bridge sort of thing that connects the two upstairs parts, and it just like comes crashing down just from all the chaos. But yeah, I don't know. It's such a badass scene. I loved
And
it.
you could really tell, like you said, she's a dancer. Like, especially in this scene that you said that, like some of the scenes, like she's in the bottom first floor, and then she like just like thrusts her sword up and she like spins really quickly up to the second floor, like fucking awesome.
I love the scene afterwards too, because Shulin and Mubai come and they're like interviewing everybody, and it's just all 25 of these guys. They're all busted up, their faces are all bruised, and they're just like, she took on all of us. Like all we did was respectfully ask for her to train us.
Well, the guy says like, "Oh, I'm goo something," and he is like has like these boards on his face and it's like wrapped around.
And she's like, he's like, why does she hate my name so much? It's fucking funny.
And then we get another awesome scene. Chun-Li meets up with Jen in this kind of training sparring area with all these weapons around, and she's trying to get what's it called, the Sword of Destiny,
The Green Destiny.
Green Destiny, back from Jen. And I really like this fight scene between these two, because Chun-Li has all these different weapons. Obviously, the Green Destiny can cut through literally anything. And she's grabbing different weapons, you know. She's fighting toe and toe with her. Like, I think Chun-Li is the better warrior than her. And she doesn't end up beating Jen, but Jen is like, Chun-Li's giving me the sword back. And Jen's like, go get it from me. And Chun-Li's like, you're only powerful because you have this sword. But I do love the one scene whenever Chun-Li grabs this like giant, like 8 foot tall thing off the wall and she grabs it. And it just like falls back and she can't. She just like drops it. She's like, oh, well.
Goes to grab something else. But yeah, like the weapon selection and Michelle Yeoh's I don't know, like expertise with every fucking weapon that she pulled out. Like she's just flawless, man. She starts off with two swords. They get cut in half. She gets rid of that. Then she gets this big like pole arm thing with a like a spear on the end of it. And she's just fucking flipping that shit around like Donatello. And that breaks, and then yeah, just every weapon that she grabbed off that weapon rack, it was just like pure perfection on her part.
So Jen won't give the sword back to her. And then she ends up running away, and this is where Master Li shows up and he has to go get the sword from her. And this is where they are climbing in the trees and fighting in the trees. And I can get what you're saying because, like, they're so light on their feet. Like there's a branch that's like literally like the size of my pinky finger, and they're just like sitting both feet just standing on it.
And you can really show, like, this scene really shows the difference between the two of them. Because, like you said, like, even with Shulin, she's like a better warrior than Jen. Like, Jen, she's very good, obviously. But like even on this scene, like she's like kind of wobbly on this tree branch and like she doesn't have as much balance. And then Lee is just like, he's just standing there like, I could do this all fucking day.
Then he like falls down and he like falls down the tree and then he like curves in and he like kicks the tree she's on. She falls all the way down. And I love when they're like standing like on the cliff or whatever. And Jen is like, okay, I'll give you back the sword if you can get it back in 3 moves. He's just like, one move, got it back. This was his sword. Like, come on. And then he throws it in the water, which, like, was that a test of his, do you think? Why he did that?
Yeah, because he's still trying to Because
Like
he's still trying to,
recruiter.
yeah, to recruit her. And so then he gets it back. And part of that deal too was that if he can get it back in three moves, she would go with him. Then he gets it back and she reneges on it. So he's just like, fuck you. Then he tosses it in the
Right,
water off this waterfall.
yeah. So she dives in, she's trying to find it, she can't get to it. But then Jade Fox ends up saving her out of the water and grabbing her. So then later that night, Lee ends up finding Jen. She has been drugged by Jade Fox. And then Jade Fox and Shin Lee end up coming here as well. And it's kind of a fight between them. Jade Fox has like, is it Jade Fox that has it like a kind of like blowgun thing that has like all these fucking poison darts? So I think Lee ends up like countering it and like shooting the darts back at her, so she gets like fucked up by those. But then I think Shin Lee says like, "Oh no, like Lee," and he has like a dart in his neck, and it's a poisonous dart.
Well, yeah, so he says to Jade Fox, he's like, I'm gonna kill you now. And she goes, then you're gonna die too. And
Oh
he's
right.
like kind of looks and he ends up having one of the things in his neck, like what you said, but
So he's gonna die. He finds out from Jen that she knows what it is and what the antidote is because she could read, right? And read and write. So she tells him, "Oh, it's this, and this poison." She's like, "I know how to get to the ingredients for the antidote, but it's gonna take a couple hours for me to get everything." So she ends up going running off to find the ingredients. She sends off, I think, Lo maybe, and no, Lil's not there yet. The guard, one of the guards or something like that, to get all the ingredients. And we get a really fucking sad scene,
Yeah,
man.
dude.
This hurt.
Yeah, it did.
And the way it was acted, like, you know, even though we don't speak their language, but like,
So good.
so good. So him and Shun Li, they're kind of with each other, and Lee is, you know, he tells her like, "I'm dying, like this is my last breath," and she says, "Well, save your last breath and meditate." And oh man, he drops one right on us. I did not expect the emotion from this movie, man.
No, it was fucking, it was,
He
yeah.
drops the line. Saving my breath to tell you one last time, I love you. Damn, man. And then he passes away, he dies. That was sad,
And
man.
it just seemed like such raw emotion. Like you almost felt like these two legitimately loved each other. Like that this wasn't acting. Just the way that Michelle Yeoh acted this, like she's crying and then he dies and she's, well, he's not quite dead yet. She kisses him and then he passes away in her arms. And she's still just like hugging him and like rocking him and yeah, super fucking emotional. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, me either. And then Jen shows up literally just as he died, and she has all the ingredients, and then, you know, Shin Lee tells her he's passed away. She ends up sending the sword back to Surtei. And she's sending Jen to Wudang to be trained and to spend her rest of her life with Lo.
I thought maybe she was gonna kill her.
You thought Jen was gonna kill her?
No, I thought
Oh.
Shulin was gonna kill Jen because this he's dead because of her. Like
Yeah.
if she would have fucked off with this sword, stopped fucking stealing it, they wouldn't have chased her to this cave and he wouldn't have been
True.
dead. Right? But because like she looks up whenever Jen gets there and like you can see Jen, like she's sad too. And she's like, he's gone. And then Shulin looks at her and she picks up the sword and she like walks to her very swiftly. And I was like, oh fuck, she did. And she, like you said, gives the sword off to the guard there and just kind of change it. Like she feels for her, like she kind of has grown an affinity to this girl almost. Like Because she really liked her and enjoyed her company before we found out that she was the thief.
Yeah.
And I feel like she sees a little bit of herself in Jen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Gives her a second chance at life.
Then we get the ending, which I forgot a bit. Like, I watched the first hour last night and the rest tonight. So maybe I just forgot about what you said about the story. But do you want to go into the final scene with Jen and Lo?
Yeah, she ends up going up there, and I was kind of chuckling to myself because this is like the staircase in fucking Ace Ventura when nature calls, or Pet Detective. Yeah, when nature calls, like there's like 1,000 steps, and we just see her trudging up them. And I was like, I just watched you throughout this whole movie, flying through trees and shit. Like, just fly up those stairs. But anyways, I guess it's the difficulty of the climb that really shows your true intentions, right? But so yeah, we watch her, and then we see Lo, like right whenever she gets to the top, and he comes running up to her, and they hug each other, and then they go to his room, and they have another night of love making. And he wakes up the next morning and she's not there. So he gets dressed, he runs out, talks to somebody, and they point him in the direction of where she is, and we see her standing at this like cliff's edge kind of thing, like a waterfall. And I can't remember what their conversation was, but they have a conversation. It's a really heartfelt conversation. And she te oh that's what it was. She tells Lo to make a wish, and he wishes for them to be together again back in the desert with like nothing to worry about, basically. And at that point, she jumps off the bridge.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
So I guess she's testing the story to see. And like we see her fly through the mist, and then we don't see what happens.
And I was like, okay, what the
It's really a
fuck?
beautiful ending. Like
It is,
if you would have remembered the story from
I
before,
know, yeah.
yeah.
But yeah.
So she's trying to, I guess, test her heart. Because
Yeah.
the guy that did it before, he had a very true heart, right?
Yeah.
So she's testing her heart and also trying to give Lo his wish. Chances are she died.
Probably, yeah.
They never found that guy's body because it was a waterfall, and he probably got like rushed 500 miles down the water.
Yeah. Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, that's the way fists fly.
There you go. All right. I don't know your score, so lay it on me.
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
I was very close to giving it a 4.5 just because like of how legendary this movie is. But there's still a lot of story I didn't quite understand. I think now that I've watched it, I think in future watches I'll understand it more, maybe pick up more stuff. So that was a big deduction for me. But just I think for the quality wise, I think this movie is amazing. Like the cinematography, the acting, the choreography, even like the writing. I thought this movie is just beautiful in every way. The action scenes, I couldn't stop looking and watching, like just amazed by it. And yeah, I think it's just one of those action movies that just defined a genre and changed how people view movies, I think. Also, like you said, it's the first for one of the first Chinese movies to ever really bring eyes to it overseas. So yeah, 4 out of 5.
You thought about giving it a 4.5, and I did give it a 4.5.
Okay, nice.
It's only my second time watching it. First time being not long after it first came out. So I was young, I was a kid. I remember laughing my ass off at this shit. Like, look at these fucking guys flying through the air and climbing up trees and shit. Now, dude, I fucking loved this movie. This could crack my top 10 of all time.
Jeez, wow.
Not quite there yet
Yeah.
because of some minor things that, like you said, the story, you kind of got to get a better grasp on it. But I fucking like adore everything about this movie, man. The score was so good. Like they had fucking Yo-Yo
Yeah.
Ma doing the cello work on this movie. Like
Yeah.
such a good score. It, like just every musical aspect of this movie fits so perfectly with the scene that it was with. I think the acting was brilliant.
Yeah.
Like Chow Yun-fat, he's not like a fucking superstar actor. He's good.
Yeah.
Like he's good for
Yeah.
what he does.
Yeah.
He was so good in this movie.
He was, yeah.
Michelle Yeoh deserves all the recognition. And
Yeah.
then we had the Ji Zhang, who was basically a very little known actress back then. And this movie fucking shot her to fame. Like, if you look at her resume, she's got a shit ton of fucking credits
Yeah.
now. Just the fight choreography was like out of this world, man. Just
Yeah.
so good. So good.
Yeah.
And the fact that they all did their own stunts and just, oh man. And like watching that behind the scenes stuff and just like the love and respect that they all had for Ang Lee. And they just put all of their trust into him with this movie. And they just let him do his thing. Like, you tell us what you want us to do, and we're gonna fucking do it.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible. And this, yeah, I don't know. I can't say enough good things about this. I think, yeah.
I forgot to mention that they even got the name of the movie set in the movie,
It's true. That's true. They
which I
did.
caught me off guard, but I have
Yeah.
the line here. So Mubai says to Xu Lane, crouching tigers and hidden dragons are in the underworld, but so are human feelings.
So
Damn,
good.
so good.
That's like, yeah, it sucks that we don't know the language because there's
Yeah.
so many lines in this movie that are just perfect.
Yeah.
So good. But yeah, this is on a third watch, it's a 5-star for me, I think. I just like, yeah, I don't know. I loved it. So glad you picked it
Thanks, man.
because, yeah, I've been wanting to revisit this for a long time and I just never did. And yeah.
Yeah.
Very happy.
And I always see it. It always pops up on my like Prime or Crave or whatever, and it's like I need to pick it for the pot or just fucking watch it because it's been too long.
Yeah, I'm glad. All right. You guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus. The movie that catapulted Ang Lee into the ranks of upper echelon Hollywood filmmakers. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon features a deft mix of amazing martial arts battles, beautiful scenery, and tasteful drama. So based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say like 90.
98.
Jeez, okay.
It's on 171 reviews. Only four of them were rotten reviews. So a lot of people liked it. And an average score of 8.7 out of 10. The audience score was an 86% on 250,000 ratings and an average score of 4.1 out of 5 or an 8.2 out of 10. Letterboxd got.
Letterboxd has a 4.1 out of 5. Our scores, our buddy Alan, 2.5, but I guessing that is just his automatic 2.5 that he usually does. I don't know if anyone else has really rated this movie. I'm sure Anthony has. No. Screaming Cinema, 4 out of 5. That's it.
All right, well, it's time for our
cunning stunts.
How did you rate the stunts in this movie?
See, this one is tough because like we know what they're using to do these stunts, right? With the ropes and all that, but it's still them putting in the work. So I'll go 8 out of 10. Because like you said, like I didn't know that Zizi Zhang or whatever her name, was a dancer, didn't know any choreography or martial arts and stuff like that. But like, I just think that the way the stunts were filmed and the way he like did it, like kind of hurtfully, I don't know, artsy, you know. And there's quite a few fight scenes in this movie too, right? Like there's at least four or five. So yeah, 8 out of 10. Favorite stunt? I gotta go with the bar fight, the restaurant fight with Jen. I mean, like you said, that's a like one of the only fights that's like really in the daylight, so you see everything that's happening. They're using this whole bar to fight, and I thought it was awesome. Stunt I would like to try. I mean, get me tied up in one of those ropes, but like, I'll go like specific, like jumping from like roof to roof. Actually, no. Whenever I think Jen has run away from someone and she like jumps off a roof and she lands on like the river and she's like bouncing over it. Like, it's like she's fucking Jesus. So I'll go with that one.
All right.
How about
Okay.
you?
My sense, I went 10 out of 10.
Okay. All right.
Given the fact that they all did most of their own stunts. And I mean, yeah, like they used a rope and pulley system, but like you said, they're still putting in the work. They're still making it look believable. Like the actors as well as the rig technicians, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. But then just the fight choreography and the fact that they all did those fights themselves and the training that would have had to have gone into everything that they did in this movie. And like you can tell that they're fucking gassed at the end of these fights. Like they have sweat coming off them. They're like breathing heavy. Like they're doing this shit, man. Like it's fucking crazy what they're doing. So I just, yeah, I had to go 10 out of 10 just because like these are some of the best martial arts fights I've ever seen. Even though we do have that like sort of over the topness with the flying and stuff, but you incorporate it all into it and it makes it so fluid. My favorite stunt, it was originally going to be that restaurant fight. Like I had a note written down on my phone, like this is going to be it. And then immediately after we have that Jen and Xu Lin fight. And I was just like, oh fuck. Like the restaurant fight was chaotic and it was super fun to watch. And then this fight, it was just two people going at each other with whatever they could grab kind of thing. And it was just like a lot more tailored and intimate, I guess you could say. Like you could tell they were really going at each other. So that's the one that I picked. And stunt I want to try. I went the same route as you, like fucking tie me up in those ropes, man. I'm not into BDSM, but rope me up, baby. So yeah. I fucking love this movie. I'm happy you picked it. Thankful you picked it. Because yeah, it kicked both of our asses to finally watch it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We've had three bangers back to back to back on this podcast.
Have we?
Yeah. We had Sicario. Then we had 1917. And then we had this one.
And
I was gonna try and pick like one that I knew was gonna be like a fucking 5 out of 5 for us. And I was like, eh. We'll go like a little more true action, like explosions and gunfights and shit like that. I'm going with 1984's Red Dawn with her boy Patrick Swayze.
Swayze is in that.
Swayze, baby.
That's the one I'm pretty sure. Like the high school and Russia attacks the town. Okay. I've only seen the remake of it, so.
That's why I specified. I want to watch the OG.
Nice. All right. Cool.
I don't think it's going to be a 5 out of 5 watch for us, but
Yeah, you never know.
it'll be a fun one.
Nice.
So yeah, come back in a couple of weeks. We'll be talking about 1984's Red Dawn. In the meantime, if you want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. Shoot us a message in the DMs. We're always willing to talk. And yeah, if you have listened to this episode and you haven't watched this movie in a long time or at all anything, take our word for it. This movie is fucking awesome and go watch it. All right. Thanks for listening to me gush about this shit for however long this episode is.
All right, guys. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
Bye.